This Sunday is the first time that I have preached in 3 weeks, so hold on, all right? Buckle up, all right? We have been in a series called We Believe, all right? We talked about, we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God. We believe in the church and its mission. We believe in the one true God. And we believe in the resurrection. And Easter morning was the last time I preached. And then Pastor Mark Cox came and he preached a sermon, Is God Good? Is he good in the bad times? Is he good in joblessness? Is he good in loss? Is he good in sickness? Is he good in confusion? Is God good? Because if God is good just part of the time, then God cannot be good. And so he went through that, which was an amazing, amazing series, and so our sermon rather. And then today we are going to continue into that series called We Believe in Sanctification. Nudge your neighbor and say sanctification. That's a big word, right? Big word. But it has massive implications on our life. And I broke it down to say this. Sanctification is the process. So we believe in the process. All right? So today we're going to talk about it. It's a very big word called sanctification. Sanctification is not like justification and adoption, wherein an instant you are forgiven and adopted as a son and daughter of God through repentance. Right? So in an instant, when we come to Christ through forgiveness, repentance, we are justified because he forgives us of our sins, and he adopts us as sons and daughters of God. Thank God that he doesn't just see fit enough just to forgive us so that he can tolerate the sight of us, right? He not only forgave us and justified us, but he also adopted us. Adoption means that we are now heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus, that the same power that conquered the grave and raised Jesus up from it is now accessible to you and I. Man, you guys missed it. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave now resides in you and I. We have full access. Amen? Listen, we had a couple that spent about 6 weeks down south, and one of the things they said is, are we allowed to say amen? That's in the book, because down south, that's what they do. And so, can I get an amen right here? Amen. And so, the same power that rose Jesus up from the grave, we now have access to. We now have access to the power of the name that is above all names, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We now have access to that. Why? Because we have been justified through repentance, and we have been adopted instantaneously. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to do a bunch of good works to get in the club. The moment we repent is the gateway into the presence and the access to the power of God that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of you. And so that occurred instantaneously. But sanctification is a process. Everybody say process. It is a progression. We want our children to progress and grow and mature into responsible, godly men and women, but that does not occur at birth. We do not, at the hospital, rejoice over the birth of our kid, right? And then leave them there, write them some notes about how to live, how to do all these different things, and leave them alone to themselves. That's craziness. Fatherhood and motherhood come after birth. Amen? And so it's the process of rearing and raising kids, teaching them how to be mature, how to, and not perfect, all right? But mature. When they make mistakes, own up to their mistakes. How to pay their bills, how to iron their clothes, how to be a young man or woman of their word and of integrity. And if you were raising them to be a godly young man or woman, to bring them to church, to expose them to youth ministry, to do all of these things to encourage progression in their life. So in a sense, we as moms and dads are sanctifying our kids, right? We are raising our kids. It is a process. How many of you guys have ever been to the ocean before? Raise your hand. You guys ever just been walking along and you look down and you see this piece of glass, right? How many of you guys ever seen sea glass before? Right? It's been there for a long time. It's basically, you know, somebody had a bottle there and it broke or whatever. And through the course of time, what I researched this out, and it takes about 40 years to turn it into that smooth piece of glass that we call sea glass that some of you may have in your bathrooms in a little jar, right? Isn't it weird what we put in our bathrooms? But that sea glass, it takes a progression of time in order for it to get like that. It is immersed in the sea, tumbled through the sand, and smoothed out all of its sharp and rigid corners and points, forming this smooth, pretty thing that we use for decoration. I started to buy some sea glass and give it to each one of you today, but I'm too cheap. And so go get it yourself, right? But it takes 40 years to kind of go through that process, that immersion that we call sea glass into the sea takes a progression of time, a smoothing over corners. I like to call the sea the Holy Spirit and us yielding to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we are tumbled through the sea with no compass in sight, only holding on to the faith that we have that Christ knows what He's doing. And His plan is for our good. Why is it that we run from pain? Because we've been taught to run from pain all of our lives. Don't touch that stove, it's hot. What do? We touch the stove. Why? Because we're smart, right? Oh, because we got to figure it out for ourselves, right? And so it's a progression. It takes time. And so that is what sanctification is. Sanctification, I heard as I was studying for this, I heard a sermon. And one of the things that this guy said, this didn't originate from me, he said this: sanctification is a grace-driven effort on the part of all believers to make choices that draw them closer to the Father. This isn't done by ourselves. It is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's look at the blueprint that is laid up for us to follow, all right? If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 10. This is a good time to pray. Let me pause and let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that it is a guide. It is food for us. It is water for our souls. And I ask, Father, that You would minister over us this morning the power of Your word. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see the need for the progression of our faith, that we are not staying still. We are not going to park here, but that we're going to progress. We're going to grow. We're going to shave off those rough edges of our life in order that we can know You more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, it says this: Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Everybody say, put to death. Not tame it, not control it, not manipulate it. Put it to death. It's definitive, right? Cut off so that it no longer feeds into your life any longer. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. So the Bible isn't ambiguous about what we need to do in our grace-driven effort called sanctification in the process. Everybody say, I'm in the process. And so Colossians gives us a clear picture on where we need to start. And that is, we are to put to death in your life everything that hinders our walk with God. And it gives a specific list of what we need to do. And so I love preparing sermons, all right? I learn a lot as I'm preparing these things. And one of the things, I learned two different words this week. And I want you to try to repeat this word with me. It took me a little while to get it, all right? This is the first word I learned this week was vivification. Everybody, try it out. Let's try it one more time. All right, I'll give you all about a B on that one. Vivification. It took about 8 or 9 times. It took a long time. So it means to be infused with life, or renewed life. Colossians says that we died. When we received Christ, when we repented of our sins, we died. Something brand new sprung forth in our lives, something that we didn't recognize before. How many of you guys remember the instant you came to Christ? Wasn't it, do you feel like a newness, a peace? You saw something, you saw things differently in your life. Things that didn't bother you before, now you were convicted by. Am I the only one in the room? Isn't that the truth? Why is that? It's not because you're good. It's not because you're righteous. It's because you have been infused by the power of God, and you have been given a measure of the Holy Spirit instantaneously when you came to Christ. You were justified, and you were adopted as a son and daughter of Christ. Therefore, you have been made new. And this process of vivification, it means that you have been infused with life, or renewed in your life. This is what Colossians 3:1 is describing when it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. You died, and now you have been resurrected in newness of life. This implies death and a resurrection into new life, not your old life, not an improved life, but a new life in Christ. It is a refocus, it is a rebranding and a renewing of your life. So the first part of sanctification is found in the first 4 verses of Colossians, when it talks about setting your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated. Where is Christ seated? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And so we are to set our minds on things that are above. And how do we do that? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be renewed," or "be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do not be conformed. Let's look at that for a second. Do not be conformed. I think I need to be still right here. It's going to be difficult. This thing is making some noises every time I move. But it says, do not be conformed. One of my first jobs when I got out of college, and this is going to sound weird because I'm educated in college. I got a college certificate. It's, if you don't believe me, it's in my office. All right, you can check it out. And so one of my first jobs out of college was a part-time youth pastor at a Christian Life Center. I was newly married, and part-time work doesn't pay all the bills. I didn't have part-time bills. How many of you guys have part-time bills? Man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That'd be great. You're part-time this week. I'm not paying you till next. That'd be amazing. But anyway, and so one of the jobs that I had to take on was working in this tub factory. How many of you guys ever worked in a tub factory before? Nobody. You guys are really missing out on a treat. Not. And so what happens is I learned a lot while I was working there. There is a process. There is a mold that is on a conveyor belt hanging from the ceiling, and it's a slow process. It starts with this guy spraying on a gel coat, and it makes the form of a shower or a tub. And everything he sprays on there conforms to that image, to that mold. And as it goes down, it's sprayed with fiberglass. It is heated. You guys want to know what my job was? You're going to be blown away when I tell you what my job was. I stood in this long tunnel that was hot, and there was a long line of these tubs coming through on a conveyor belt hanging from the ceiling, and they trusted me. They trusted me with an air hose with a wedge on it, and I stuck it between the mold and the tub, and I blew air in it. Yeah, they trusted me with a lot. My job was to go, ksh, ksh, and it was to separate the mold of the tub from the mold, all right? And so everything that we did conformed around that mold. And so the Bible says that we are no longer to conform, to be like, to be a part of, but we are to renew our minds. Romans 12, 2, put it back up there for me, please. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And how are we to be transformed? Is it by going into a room and allowing the Holy Spirit to light us up and you know, the lightning coming from our fingertips? No. The way we are to be transformed is by the renewing of our minds. Because we have had a life of conformity to this world, and it doesn't take it almost rarely ever happens in an instant where we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. I was talking to my mother the other day, and my mother is a fairly new believer, and she wouldn't mind me saying this, but we were having a candid conversation. She was in the hospital. She had gone through some illness, and we were talking about our walk with the Lord. And for me, talking to my mom about our walk with the Lord is incredible because I've been praying all this time for her to come to Christ, and she finally did. And one of the things she was telling me she was struggling with, and I know none of you guys in here have struggled with this, so omit yourself from this, okay? She's struggling with swearing. I know none of us have had that problem. For me, that's how I expressed myself. When I first came to Christ, don't look at me like that. You know you went through it too. Some of you probably in this room are struggling with it right now. But my mother was candid. Because that's it. My mom is just, she is who she is. Take it or leave it. Love her or hate her, she's just who she is. And she said, "Jimmy, I'll be honest with you, it's very difficult not to swear." It's hard. She said, I went up front to my pastor when he gave the altar call a few weeks ago and said, man, I really need help with this. I'm struggling with it. Normally, I don't care. That's just how I express myself. But now I feel convicted every time it flows out of my mouth. Instantaneously, I feel convicted. And I said, well, you know, Mom, that is a good thing. And she said, it is? I said, of course it is. She goes, you mean me feeling bad about myself is good? I said, no, that is not of God. Conviction is of the Lord. Condemnation is of the devil. And all of a sudden, a light come on for her. And I said, see, repentance, this feeling of conviction is from God. That conviction draws us to the Father, not repels us. Amen? And so we have got to conform and renew our minds. This is that word vivification, that we are being infused with new life and being transformed. Now, to be clear, renewing your mind cannot simply mean that you memorize a bunch of Bible verses. I used to do prison ministry a lot back in Tennessee, and I met a lot of people that knew scriptures more than I did. They would cut me off and complete the Bible verse. Some of them knew the Bible through and through and through, yet they're in jail. One of them said, and it was an uncle of mine. I didn't realize that he was in jail. I tell on my family, Uncle, please don't listen to this. But what happened was, this is years and years ago, probably 20, 25 years ago, going through a rough patch in his life. I didn't know he was in there. I'd lost touch with him years prior to that. And he saw me come in, and he tried to turn his head to try to avoid me at all costs. I don't blame him. I would have done the same thing, I'm sure. And so we sat in there, and I said, Uncle Dave, what's going on? And he goes, well, your uncle's been through a rough time, and I made some mistakes. And you know, according to Scripture, and then he started quoting all these Bible verses. And he said, it's not good enough for me to know them. I need to live it out in my life. And he said, this is the deficit. This is the reason why I'm here. I didn't apply the Word to my life. I didn't allow it to transform me and renew me. And that is the process. It's not good enough that we memorize Bible verses. Listen, Jesus spent a lot of time rebuking people that knew the law word for word. He called them snakes, brood of vipers, liars, blind guides, manipulators. He's calling this to people that were experts of the law, that were in charge of teaching the people the law, and yet he's calling them blind guides, hypocrites. You are a snake and your mama's a snake. Them there's fighting words. But what Jesus was so upset about was that the people that he was calling blind guides, the reason why he was doing that is because they had weaponized the Word of God to manipulate the people and to keep them under their thumbs. They had weaponized the Word of God. They had beat down people with the Word of God. Our lives should exude the Word of God by our examples, not by our thumping them on their heads. I'm preaching good this morning. Renewing our minds is a retraining of our minds to what used to be acceptable in our former life that we never got convicted over, now brings conviction that leads to repentance that draws us closer to the Father. And listen, the more you are obedient to the Lord, the more you press into Him, the more that light begins to expose hidden things in your life that draws you closer to the Father. And they start out by being big things like swearing and alcoholism and pornography and lying and lust and all these different things. And as we progress and renew our minds, and He begins to wash us clean in the process of sanctification, and we draw closer to Him, and the more we're into His light, the more He exposes even the smaller things that rob us of the pleasure of sitting in His presence. Things like selfishness. Things like what we watch on TV. Things about gossiping and all those tiny little things that spoil the riches that God wants to implant and give to us. Now, all of this stuff brings new life to us. By the way, I didn't mention this a few weeks ago, but Easter marked 6 years of me being your pastor here at New Freedom Church. 6 years. And I'm so excited about what God is doing, what He is continuing to do. I'm so amazed by His presence and you being here. It's been truly, truly amazing. When we first got here, when you move and change your life, you got to find a new place to get your hair cut. I don't know if you knew that or not. I tried like 3 or 4 places. One lady charged me like $28 to cut my hair. I'm about passed out. Back home, it's $10, right? I had to find a new place to get my oil changed. I had to find a new small engine repair place. I had to find new restaurants that I like to eat at. I had to make new friends, connect to new people. And trust me, if you don't know me by now, I am a super extrovert. I can't go without talking to people, right? I just love it. I love it. But I had to retrain how I got home. I had to retrain how I write out my new address. Our old address, Joshua, can you remember our old address? 125 Phillips Drive. Kind of has a ring to it, right? 125 Phillips Drive. And so every time I went to write down my new address, it would come out 120, and I had to scratch it out and then put my new address down. Happened to me all the time. I kept my Tennessee number, so if you see a Tennessee number come up, it's not a robocall, okay? It's me, all right? And so I had to retrain how to write down my address. Our move to Green Bay changed everything. The renewing of our mind is, in a sense, a retraining our mind by saying, I don't live there any longer. I live over here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, at 252 St. Matthew Street. That's where I live. And so I had to retrain my brain how to write that down, because every time I went to write it down, it came out 125 Phillips Drive, because we lived there for 11 years in that same house. And we have to retrain ourselves because we are not in the same spot we were. We're in a completely different state with completely different culture, neighborhoods. All of it's brand new. It doesn't resemble Tennessee. And so what we need to do is retrain ourselves in thinking about who we are, that we no longer are the way we used to be, that we are now new in Christ Jesus because He sanctified us, He adopted us instantaneously, we become His, and then now we start this process called sanctification. And so there's a desire to want to know Him, to want to see Him, to meditate on Him, to have Him transform me through and through. This is why the Bible is so important for the child of God, because it reminds us where our new address is and how to get there. It helps us to define what is true and what is not true. And believe me, we are going to need that in the society and then in the day and age that we live in. Amen? We need a compass. When we feel like we're being tossed back and forth into the sea with no compass at all, the place that we can run to is the Word of God. It is steady. It is constant. It tells us the truth no matter how we feel or no matter what circumstances we are in. It speaks life. It speaks transformation. And it tells us where our new address is and how to get there and how important it is that God wants us there with Him this morning. Amen? The Word of God is vital. It is like air to our lungs. Some of us go around and act like we don't need it, but we need it. Amen? And so the renewing of our mind is part of that vivification in the process of sanctification. The next part of that is this, and this is another word, mortification. Everybody say that. Mortification. This means the act of subduing one's bodily desires. The act of subduing one's bodily desires. This is the second part of Colossians 3. Putting to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Also, getting rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. This is the process. This is mortification. This is subduing your bodily desires to do what feels good. That's what our society says. This is the conformity of our world, that whatever feels good to you, do it. Whatever is true to you is your truth. Be or own it. That sounds good, right? But just because you're sincere doesn't make it truth. Right? Just because you're sincere about it doesn't mean it's true. That's why we need the Word of God to shine the light on our way home. This is the second part, again, of Colossians 3. So vivification and mortification are working at the same time in your life. It works in tandem with one another. You're renewing your mind through renewness of life by being infused with something new called vivification. And mortification is working at the same time along with the power of the Holy Spirit to give you self-control. I don't know about you, but I need self-control in my life. I need that. I need conviction in my life. I need the Holy Spirit's work in my life to say, Jimmy, you're off. What you have done is sin and you need to repent. At that moment, I have a decision to make. And this is the part, this is the definition of that grace-driven effort I talked about, is that we have a decision to make. We are not drones. God gave us He gave us free will. And so in that moment, we have a decision to make to either repent or to act like we don't need the air that God is giving us. Because there's no one or the other. It's either you're living in a state of repentance or disobedience. There really is no other option. And so these things are working together, side by side. And the Bible in this text clearly says that there are things we need to put to death in our lives. It is very specific. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And so now we have a list, and now we have to put it into practice. So let's go back to my old address for a moment. Guys, I don't live in Tennessee any longer. I don't live at 125 Phillips Drive. And I can guarantee you that that old nature is going to want to push through from time to time. But we have to remind ourselves, remind our body, remind our desires, remind our intentions that we no longer live at 125 Phillips Drive, Savannah, Tennessee, 38372. We now live at 252 St. Matthew Street, and we declare over our lives that we now are walking in newness of life. Now we have a renewed mind. Now we have the Holy Spirit working inside of us, and we rebuke the works of the enemy because the Word of God that lives inside of us exposes His plans. Can I get an amen in the house? There has now become a point in my life where I no longer have to remind myself that I live at a new address. Because it's the progression of sanctification. The things that I used to struggle with, I no longer struggle with. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's that I've reminded myself and I have transformed my mind and my thinking to remind myself that I now live over here and not over here. And so when that old self pops back up again, and it will pop up again, we can remind ourselves that we no longer live to the left, but we now live to the right. And the Word of God shines the direction for us. Amen? The direction is clear for those who want to be a part of the process. So we see that the clear definition of what we need to put to death in our lives, but what about those morally neutral things in our lives? I'm going to start meddling now. You know those things that the Bible doesn't say don't do? Can't find a scripture verse, right? Some of those ambiguous things. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to wrap this thing up just in a second. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. How many of you guys are getting something out of this morning? Speaking to you? Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let me say that again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. I want to focus in on that word, everything. What does everything mean to you in your life? Because we all have that everything that is specific to what we struggle with. What I struggle with, you may have the victory over. What you struggle with, I may have the victory over. But whatever it is, we are to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And so the questions are, what trips you up? Right? You got the big things down. You don't struggle with it anymore. Maybe you struggle with lust. Maybe you struggle with greed. You don't struggle with that anymore. You've learned what your new address is. But trust me, there will be other things that those small things that I talked about earlier that will rob us of the sheer joy of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That stuff that makes us robotic, that steals our passion, that steals our desire to worship. Those things are not in the big things. They're in the small things. It's in the things that we allow permission in our lives. You know, we say things like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Or, where can you find that in the Bible, preacher? Where do you find in the Bible that I can't do that? If what you're doing is affecting your love for the Lord and your focus on Him, then I don't understand why you don't cut that off in your life. The Bible says in Colossians that we are to put to death those things in our life that would cause us to not follow God again. We are not to tame our lions. Come on, we're not to tame our lions or beat them into submission or train them or manipulate our lions. We are to put them to death. Amen? We are to cut it off. We are to not feed it any longer. Things like alcohol. We understand what the Bible says. We understand about moderation. But can you do moderation? Let that simmer for a second. Can you do moderation? Will it begin to stir again those things you've put to death in your life? Will it cause you to start craving those things again? Will it cause you to go back to the bar and drink more than you should, hang out in relationships that you know will drag you back down to your old address? It's at those moments in our life that we truly, truly put to death the lions or allow them into our lives to rob us and to steal us of the joy of serving the Lord. And lastly, sanctification cannot be done by yourself. Would you stand with me this morning? Sanctification cannot be done by yourself. Would you just say that in your head quietly? I can't do this by myself. You are not strong enough. You're not mature enough. You're not headstrong enough. You cannot do it by yourself. This is why we have small groups other than Sunday mornings. This is why I encourage you to invite people from your church over to your house, to create new and healthy relationships. It's all part of the process. Some of you here today have got relationships in your life that is cutting the joy of the Lord off. Some of you here today are taming your lions. You're putting up with them, trying to beat them into submission. But the moment you think you've got it subdued, they'll eat you alive when you turn your back. We're not to tame our lions. We are to put them to death. How do we do that? By renewing our minds, by drawing closer to the Father, by understanding the value of coming every Sunday to hear the Word of God preached, so that it brings conviction. My job isn't to entertain you on Sunday mornings. I pray that at some point in my message it irritates you, that it convicts you, that it chafes you, and somewhere in the middle you laugh and that you get something out of it that you can take home, that causes you to push forward. Some people say, well, I can have a relationship with God and not go to church. Please, by all means, try it. Trust me, it doesn't work. You rob yourself not only of hearing the Word of God, but being a part of a healthy community that'll take you just as you are. That's why we have women's groups. That's why we have men's groups. That's why sometimes as men we go out and we shoot stuff together. Right? In the middle of shooting stuff, in the middle of washing cars together for the community, in the midst of having a free rummage sale for the community, all of a sudden we're talking to each other as we're folding clothes and putting them away in sections. Hey, so I really didn't get your name, but I know we've been going to church for 6 months together and I'm embarrassed, but what's your name? Tell me something about you. Maybe that person would say something like this. You know, I'm glad that we met because for 6 months I want to tell you that your example has taught me how to worship. By your example, you have taught me how to find joy in my life again. These aren't made-up conversations. These are conversations that I've had with other people, or people were telling me about conversations they've had about with people in the church they didn't know, and all of a sudden they've got all this stuff in common. Relationships, healthy relationships, are part of the process of sanctification. Renewing your minds, how you see relationships. Are they healthy? Are they drawing you to the Father? those morally neutral things in our life? Are they cutting off the joy of the Lord? And if they are, cut it off. Put it to death. Don't put up with it any longer in your life, because we need each other. Iron sharpens iron, right? At some point, I always tell people, you stick around in this church long enough and I'm going to let you down. You're going to find out I'm not the person that you have envisioned in your head. That I'm real. That I wear Tennessee shorts around my house. I'm an imperfect husband and an imperfect father. But man, I love Jesus. I love him because I didn't do it on my own. I had other people demonstrating this walk for me. I have so many other people that are invested in Jimmy McDonald. Who is invested in your life? Who have you allowed to speak truth and life into your life? And into whom have you been speaking into others? This is all part of the process. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? This morning, I encourage you not to cover your stuff up, but to allow God to renew you by the power of His Holy Spirit. The same power that conquered the grave now lives in you. It's available to you. Don't stop in the process. Keep going. That's why Paul talks about persevering, standing still, holding fast. That's why the scriptures talk about breaking bread with one another, having fellowship with one another, going from house to house, breaking bread with one another. If you are struggling today, admit your struggle. Expose it to the light of Christ. He will not condemn you. He will not persecute you. He will not make fun of you. He will not condemn you. But He will restore you, forgive you, and make you new today. This is the hope we have in Christ. So today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, start the process of justification and adoption today. By repenting of your sins. Today, if you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to start the process now. Would you raise your hand? I want to see it. Just raise your hand so I can see it. Amen. If you say, Pastor, listen, I am a believer and I love Christ, but there are things that have robbed me and I've allowed these things in my life. And I need to get back on that, in that process of sanctification. By the renewing of my mind, by subduing my bodily desires, I've succumbed to them, and it's robbed me. If that's you, I don't want you to raise your hand this morning. All I want you to do is come forward. We're going to pray for you. If you've raised your hand for salvation this morning, I want you to come forward. Can I have some altar workers up here this morning? It all starts with repentance. And throughout the process, it's obedience. It's a grace-driven obedience in Him. And so this morning, if you're struggling in the process, come this morning. I'm going to turn this mic off.